Praise the Lord, everybody.
Whoa. Praise God. That was exciting. Thank you, Jesus. You don't have to be standing if you don't care to. I'm excited about the lesson I'm teaching tonight. It has really helped me. You know, sometimes when you begin to study the Word of God, God begins to reveal to you some things that you thought you knew, and suddenly you realize that you hadn't even scratched the surface. And we're going to be talking about finding the perfect will of God in your life. And praise God. This is something that I think all of us have struggled with. Anybody here struggled with the Word of God in their life at one time or another? I know I have. And I know I've made some horrendous errors in the past because I did not discern the will of God. And I understand now why I made these errors. And hopefully tonight, before you leave this building, you'll have a new perspective. This is a vast subject. It can't be covered in one session. But I'm hoping to throw out enough information that you'll be able to dig into this a little more and be able to go further into this. But I think it will help you. Praise God. Excuse me. I don't know about you, but have you ever considered what it would be like if the entire church suddenly pursued God to the point where everyone was in the perfect will of God, that everything was in line with what God had wanted for their life? Can you imagine what kind of ministries would be here? Those of you that may have latent talents, some of you may have been at the meeting about 20 years ago. Brother Stone King preached down in Milwaukee, and he said, you know, there's an audience here. He said, I could tell you right now, I can feel it in the Holy Ghost. There are in this building tonight a good number of people who have latent gifts of the Holy Ghost, gifts of healing, gifts of prophecy, all different types of gifts, yet they've never been able to find a place where they could release the power of God in their lives. And I thought to myself, how true it is even today as we go to the Word of God and look through these things. It's just amazing. The limitations we sometimes put on ourselves because we're unwilling to pursue the unknown. Roy preached a great message here a while back on he's not satisfied with average. And I want you to know God's not satisfied with average either. But it doesn't mean that you're going to be standing behind this pulpit. It doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be teaching or whatever. It could mean that you're going to be the best Sunday school teacher, the best nursery worker, whatever. It really has to do with God's perfect will for each and every one of us. And you talk about things that are going to open up in your life. John 5:15, the Bible says, and we know that he hears us. Whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. God's word is God's will. Everybody say, God's word is God's will. Praise God. You know, if you want to know anything about the direction of your life, the Bible tells us we should look on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. If you want to know how to pray, look unto Jesus. If you want to know how to fast, look unto Jesus. If you want to know how to give, look unto Jesus. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus. Praise God. You know, there's a lot of these little buttons out that says WWJD. We ought to put one out that says, what did Jesus say? What did Jesus do? And then follow after that. Let's go to Hebrews, the 12th chapter, in the first verse. Another very familiar passage of scriptures to most of us. I want to lay a little foundation here tonight so you would understand where we're going with this. Wherefore, seeing we are also encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking on to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, there's a couple of things I want to just go back into that scripture. First of all, the Bible says that the Christian race that we are involved in, it's already marked out before us. Jesus already has a plan in heaven for each and every member of Calvary Gospel Church. Each and every member of humanity has a plan, has something that God has set out there before you. And unfortunately, a lot of folks, Brother Roy, never do find that plan. They never get to the point in their spiritual walk with God. But there is out there a perfect will of God. And for us to follow that course, we need to not chart our own course. We need to be able to discern by the help of the Holy Ghost and the word of the Lord. There is a course, and God has charted it out, and we can find it. You know, if you go up, I was told, to Mount Everest, we'll find mountains of gear out there. People have tried to make to the summit, and they found out there was a lot of things that was unnecessary. The Bible says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us. But in Mount Everest, they got piles of this stuff at certain camps of containers of all these things that they thought they had to have, and they found out that to make the ultimate top of Mount Everest, they had to get rid of that stuff. So we understand that the race is already marked out. God has a plan. Secondly, we must fix our eyes on Jesus Christ if we're going to find out where we are to go, what we are to do. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Praise God. How much more should we emphasize the Word of God in our lives? Hallelujah. How much more should we be studying the Word of God and projecting in our spirits what we read about in the Word of God? Keeping our eyes on Jesus. Praise God. The Bible says that Jesus is our pattern. He is also our inspiration. He should be our motivation for everything we do. So unless we understand, what was it that motivated Jesus Christ to do what he did? What was it that made Jesus go through this whole 33 and a half years of life and do what he did for us? Let's turn to Hebrews 10, 5 through 10. The writer of the book of Hebrews was quoting from Psalms 40, and then he, of course, applies it to Jesus Christ. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book that is written of me, to do thy will, O God. And when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. First of all, in that scripture, we see that this was the supreme motivation for Jesus Christ. I have come to do your will. And the Bible quotes that scripture twice to emphasize this is the reason Jesus Christ came to this planet, to do the will of God. Now, we understand what that will included. So the paramount purpose and the single objective of Jesus throughout his earthly ministry was to do the will of God. And if that's what his purpose is, if we're going to be looking on to Jesus, then we should not have our own agenda. We should be looking to do the will of God in our life. And quite frankly, most of the time, we may not even understand or know what God's will is for our life until we pursue it and begin to take a hold of it. And then, secondly, with the first point, there was a part written for Jesus to play. He said, I come in the volume of the book it was written. So for Jesus to find out what his purpose and what his will, he had to go into the Bible. He had to go in there and find the scriptures that pertain to him as it was written in the volume of the book. The Bible records that Jesus, from a very early age, was in the temple talking to the rabbis about the Bible, about the word of the Lord. Praise God. So he discovered God's will for him by studying the scriptures. And this is how you and I will find God's will, perfect will for our life, through the word of God. You have to really fall in love with the word of God. You have to digest it. After all this good food that's been up here, I'm twice the man that I used to be since I married Peggy Thomas. It's terrible. But, nevertheless, I was not following God's will when I ate all that food, that's for sure. Praise God. We need to understand, too, that God's will for Jesus accumulated when he was put on Calvary's cross. That was God's will for Jesus Christ to be the human sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Praise God. Now, we need to understand that now God's asking us to sacrifice our body, not in a physical sense, but he's asking us to sacrifice our will, to put our body as a living sacrifice. Praise God. So we need the same motivation that Jesus had to do God's will. The Bible declares that time after time. Now, I didn't go into all the scriptures that talk about God's will and how Jesus fulfilled it, but I will say this. The scripture is filled with scripture that will talk about this. Some people are striving in God's kingdom right now, and they have never found the will of God. They're doing a work. You know, where did Jesus come up with these people that were saying, Lord, Lord, have we not done many great and wonderful things in thy name? But obviously they did not know the will of God. Obviously they weren't doing what they had been called to do. He said, get away from me, you workers of iniquity. Praise God. It's been said that it was not the nails that held Jesus to Calvary's cross. It was his will, his commitment to do the Father's will. We need, as saints of the living God, we need to discover in the Word of God what is the will of God in our lives. It's not just to come to Calvary Gospel Church. It's not just to sit here. It's not just to be involved in the ministry. You know, the perfect will of God is going to take you places you never thought of going before. The perfect will of God could put you in Africa. The perfect will of God could put you as a home missionary. We've been secretaries of the Home Missionary Department for a good number of years and seen a lot of young men and women come by. And not all of them succeeded because not all of them were in the right place at the right time. They thought they knew the will of God, but they didn't. They either didn't stay with it or somehow they didn't seem to perceive the perfect will of God in his life. The Bible says that the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. As you begin to study it and ponder it and begin to meditate on it, we will, somewhere in the process, this is going to open up and that word will begin to speak to you. Now, there's one thing that I had never thought about before as I began to study this out. And there has to be a conscious decision, Brother Roy, to perform the will of God in your specific life. It's not good enough to seek specific point in your life. I'm seeking whether God wants me to build this house or to do this or do that or move or this or that or the other thing. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about making a commitment like Jesus Christ did. I have come to do thy will, O God. I have come to do thy will, O God. That's my purpose. I don't know what the will of God is for you, and you don't necessarily know the will of God for me. But unless we look at this as a commitment, whatever that might be, that is the key here to understanding the Word of God. So we must choose God's will before we find out what it is. This is where we don't quite like that part of it. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. You are the potter, I am the clay. Hello. Are we really the clay? Is he really the potter that wants to do things with us? Is it not within all of us, somewhere in our subconscious mind, some things we just don't want to do? That's not me. I don't like to do this. I don't like to do that. And we've never really consulted whether that might be God's perfect will for you. Not many amens there. Well, we like God when we petition God. We want him to show us the whole thing. Show me what this is all about here. And then when I see the whole picture, then I'd be willing, I think, to commit myself to this. But I want to know more about this. God says it's not going to happen that way. God's not going to reveal his will to you just to scratch your itch to know his will. You're going to have to say, whatever your will is, oh God, I'm ready to do it. Whatever you might call me to do, I will do it. Thank you, Jesus. If you will commit to God's, to just to know God's will, then understanding and insight and revelation will follow. But it doesn't happen prior to that. Commitment leads to understanding, not understanding to commitment. And that's what we like. We like to understand everything, then I'll commit. That's what I'll go to work for Roy. I know he needs people, but how about seeking the Lord? And maybe God's going to say, hey, this is what I want you to do, brother or sister. We do not first understand God's will, then commit ourselves to it. We make that commitment. If we can't say if, we can't say maybe. If I had more time, I'd be doing this or that. But boy, I'm so busy, I just don't have time for this or for that. These questions wouldn't even come up in our lives if we had totally committed to whatever God's will is. It might be that God's called you the best housewife in Madison, the best secretary at Calvary Gospel Church, the only one, quite frankly. But you know what I'm saying is that it's not so much what you're called to do, it's that you are called to God's perfect will for your life. There's nothing more frustrating is to see people who are doing things that they're not called to do, and they don't have the burden to do, and they don't allow themselves to really understand how this whole process works. This scripture I'm going to read in Romans 12 and 1, I mean, most of us have this memorized, literally. Romans 12, 1 and Romans 12, 2. I'll be honest with you, I didn't really quite understand it until I began to study this out. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In essence, I think God's saying to each of us, in light of everything I've done for you, the response I require for you is to offer your body upon my altar as a living sacrifice. God wants us to make our body available without reservation. Now, if you offer up your body as a living sacrifice, you can no longer claim ownership to that body. It's not your body, it's God's body, because you place it on the altar. A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, whatever's placed on the altar of God belongs to God. We can't just take it back up and say, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do this. You never told me that was going to happen. See, God never gives us the total picture. He gives us a piece of it. And then we must take another step. The just shall walk by faith, not by sight. And another step. But it begins in prayer. You confirm it with the word of God. You get a multitude of counsel. And you begin to see the word of God unfold God's perfect will. Praise God for your life. Praise God. You no longer decide what your body is going to wear because it's God's body. You no longer decide when your body is going to eat because God might say, hey, I want you to fast this week. Ever had that happen to you? See, if we don't own the body, then God's then able to work with us. And he said, hey, don't worry about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will follow after you. He's already promised us all these things that we spend a lot of time thinking about. We spend a lot of time thinking about things that God said, if you'll seek me first, then all these things shall follow after you. And when you're not seeking those things first and you're waiting on God to give you his perfect will, you might end up in Bolivia, Skasha. You ever think about, oh, I guess you did go to Bolivia. You never know, Roy Grant. You're a plumber, and suddenly he's in the ministry with a tremendous, awesome ministry. Who'd ever thought that? Who'd ever thought that? Oh my God, when I think about myself, what am I doing here? Praise God. Look at your life. brothers and sisters. Everything that you have is because you submitted yourself to the known will of God. You'll never get the total picture. When we came into this business, we didn't understand all this. Nobody told us everything. We just had a part of it. We knew we needed God. All God needed was an opening to start the process. Praise God. A living sacrifice. Hallelujah. We've given up the right to make decisions when our body belongs to God. Let's turn to Isaiah 45 and 9. This striving with God to get our own way. We sometimes will do the will of God to a point. But nobody's going to tell me how to dress. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Nobody's going to tell me that I have to be in church 3 times a week. And for God's sake, nobody's going to tell me that I should be tithing. Oh, well, then you haven't really put your body on the altar as a living sacrifice. Because if you had your body on the living sacrifice, all you'd be concerned with is what the Word of God tells you to do. Because you're not seeking to please anything or anybody but God. Your job, you would not come into your pastor's office and say, listen, you know, I think I'm going to be taking a job in Toledo, Ohio. Really? You're moving then? Yes. Well, I see you have a moving truck out there, so I assume that you've already made up your decision. Well, what about your ministry here at Calvary Gospel Church? Oh, yeah. What about the will of God for your life? Are you sure this is the will of God? Well, I'm getting 20 cents more an hour. What else could it be? Seriously, this is kind of an abstract thing, but it's just the way some people think. I know a gentleman here in the church that had an offer to go to California, but he wasn't so sure it was the will of God. Could have made a lot of money. But you know, when you leave this church, it's not always the best thing. In fact, keeping statistics, I don't think that there's been too many successful moves. And I'm not trying to get anybody to stay at Calvary Gospel Church. It's just that if you move for anything else other than for the will of God, you're in trouble. Because you've told God, listen, I don't really need your advice here. I understand that I'm supposed to submit myself as a living sacrifice, but this sacrifice is getting up off the altar. This sacrifice is moving. God says, bye. Hallelujah. You know, we hear this somewhat too. When you submit your body, it's total surrender. It's everything. It doesn't happen overnight, but sooner or later, you got to get everything on the altar. Everything that you own is on that altar. Your body particularly has to be on that altar. And then we hear people coming and saying, you know, I know I surrendered everything, but my burden is not there anymore. The fire's gone out. Things are happening. I just don't. You see, what you've done then, you've lost your focus. You've lost your focus. You're concerned with things. You're concerned with jobs. You're concerned with the things of this world. The deceitfulness of riches and the cares of this life can destroy the best saint that ever walked the face of the earth. But if you are focused not on what you're doing, but if you're focused on obeying God's perfect will in your life, you are going to make heaven your home. Praise God. Now, the way we renew our mind is we study the Word of God. We meditate on the Word of God. We hide that Word in our heart. We listen to spiritual counsel from our pastor. We meditate on that Word. And that Word is alive. That Word has the ability to release power in your life. It's like a seed when you plant it. It begins to germinate, and it begins to produce, it begins to grow. And when that Word begins to grow, those thoughts that you had, you will no longer have those thoughts, because let this mind be in you that it also was in Christ Jesus. Those thoughts and those actions and those habits and those things that were dictating how you're going to live suddenly are overtaken by the Word of the Lord. And you no longer begin to do those things that you used to do. The old things in your life begin to pass away. And behold, all things are become new. Now, Who amongst us would not look back in our life and say, oh my God, I can't believe I did that or said this or been there. You know, those of us have been places, I think, what in the world was I thinking? You know, I was in the perfect will of God when I played poker that week after I was baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. I had to be. I won $960. What else could it be? I was on a roll, so I didn't even tell Brother Grant this one. So I said, I know what I can do. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go down to the Chicago racetrack. That's a great idea. God's going to use me to build the new church. I thought, oh, that's got to be the will of God. We need the money. So I went and got 12 pennies, and I put a tape around them, Roy, and I put numbers on each one of them. And I said, I don't know what I'll do. I'll just go pick 6 pennies up, and I'll, this be number one, this number two. So I had a system, and I had the will of God, obviously. I mean, what else could it be? We had a lady one time says, God told me to go to New York. Brother Gant said, go to New York? What's New York? She says, I don't know. God told me to go there. So she left, almost lost her soul. But I shouldn't talk about her. I'm down in Chicago at the racetrack with a handful of pennies that had numbers on them. I lost $120. Honey, I'm so sorry. I never told you about this. See, you don't want to go by human intellect. You don't want to go by feelings. You don't want to go by what other people tell you. You need to hear from God yourself to determine the perfect will of God in your life. Don't limit yourself to anything. Open yourself up to do whatever God is calling you to do. You won't get it all. You'll get just enough to get started. And then you'll have to live in that dimension. Then you'll get a little more and a little more and a little more. We need to get that hidden man of our heart totally unwound, totally pushed out, so that truly old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It doesn't happen just because we are baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. That gives us a ticket. That gives us a passport to go from the kingdom that we were in to the kingdom of God. But it doesn't assure us of eternal life. It doesn't do anything but give us the wherewithal to get out of the mess that we were in. I believe the safest place on this planet is directly in the perfect will of God for your life. I don't care what it is, what country it's in, whether it's here in Madison, Wisconsin, or whatever, but the perfect will of God, the perfect will, I mean, the perfect will of God means that whatever you do, it's going to be successful. There might be some pain involved. You might be like Joseph, who spent 13 years in prison. He was doing the perfect will of God. And because he was obedient to the will of God, then, my friend, and only then was God able to perform the miracle of saving the whole known world by his obedience. Praise God. That's how this is how a man like Daniel can go into a lion's den, because he was doing the perfect will of God. And when they said lion's den, he turned it into a petting zoo. Because God was there before, and God made this whole thing we still speak about the great miracle of the lion's den. We speak about the 3 children that were thrown into the fiery furnace. What was it about that made it so wonderful? It was because they were performing the perfect will of God. You can go through every single one of the great heroes of faith, and you'll see that why a guy like Abram would leave the Ur of Chaldees with this lifestyle that he had, and evidently they were idol makers, made a lot of money, and he hears a voice that tells him to go to the promised land, flowing with milk and honey. He doesn't know where it's at. But he knew it was the perfect will of God, so he packs up his mules and donkeys and camels and his whole family, and he takes out to a place he didn't even know where it was at. Praise God. But he was successful because it was God's perfect will for him to go. Jeremiah 29:11. If it's freaking you out and I've heard this statement many times. I've heard people say, well, you know, so-and-so's got a calling on their life, but they're running from it. Dear God, give me an anointing. Give me a calling. Don't Don't run from something so precious and so wonderful as the perfect will of God. You'll never be happy. You'll never be satisfied. You'll never be fulfilled, truly fulfilled, unless you have the perfect will of God going on in your life. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. See, you know, God knows exactly what he wants to do with you. He knows exactly where you're going. But the problem is we won't get on the altar. We won't take the first step and really commit to his will. We want to know what his will is, and then we'll go. Amen? Anybody relate to this? I don't know if you've ever prayed that prayer. I remember Brother Showalter, who spent 12 years in Russia. He was going all over the state of Wisconsin soliciting for the ACE curriculum. The Russians were screaming, trying to get people to join the ACE Christian education. The Russians were looking for people to teach their children about Jesus Christ. They told him, he said, we made a horrible mistake. We threw God out of schools. In fact, they said, you know, it's just like two ships passing through the night. He said, we're coming out of darkness, and the United States of America is going into darkness. You're throwing God out of schools. We're trying to get him back because our kids are a mess. Our schools are a mess. Our government is a mess. So God has a wonderful plan for you. I don't know if I finished reading that, but you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Now I'm going to read that again. I'm going to read in a different version. It says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Praise God. Now that sounds pretty cool. He wants to give you, he says, I know exactly what you need. I've got this great thing all planned out for you. If you just present your body as a living sacrifice. If you just say, whatever it is, God, I'll go ahead and do it. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope in the future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You follow what's happening here. He says, listen, I've got plans for you, good plans, not plans to hurt you, not plans to harm you. The things I'm asking you to do and want you to do will enhance your life. He says, not only that, he says, then you're going to call on me and I'm going to answer you. Come and pray, I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. When you seek God with all of your heart, God, reveal to me your perfect will. Reveal to me exactly, Lord God. At least give me the starting point. You know, when you get in that groove of knowing you're in God's will, fruit will begin to appear in your spiritual life. You'll begin to feel and sense this is where God wants you. Now, this may change. It may change. You may come in here as a bus worker, and then you go into another ministry, and each time you make a move, it's because the pastor or someone in authority has told you that, you know, I want you to go here, go there, and that's good. You be obedient to that, and you pursue that because that is part of the perfect will of God. But when you've taken that decisive step of in your mind, you've turned over your own will. Not mine will, but thine be done, as Jesus did when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he had said to the Lord, if this cup can pass from me. In other words, listen, I'm not ready for this crucifixion. I don't care what anybody tells me. His body, his flesh did not want to go through that horrible torture. Some people say, oh, it's because of the sin that he was going to take on. I think personally that it was. Hey, listen, he knew exactly what they were going to do. The Bible says his visage was marred more than any man. His face was a piece of liver. His back was beaten. He was bloody. It was down to the bone. He was a mess. Don't tell me that he was really looking for, boy, I can't wait till I'm crucified. No, that's not it. Praise God. So when you're in the perfect will of God, there's something happens to your heart. And there's a peace, there's a stillness, there's a something happens that opens up a dimension to your life that you will you'll realize that you're there. Some people call in sports, that's the sweet spot. You can hit the ball out of the park. But you know when you get to the point where you know this is God's will for you to do a particular thing, you understand that God has taken you from point A to point B to point C to point D to point E, and you were faithful on all levels as you progressed through God's perfect will, because obviously the will's got to change. It's not always going to be what it is when you first come in. Praise God. Excuse me. This is really a lot different than I talk to people and says, I'm seeking for I want to hear the voice of God. I want to hear what God tells. I'm seeking to hear what God says. You know, what you should be doing is seeking God's perfect will. And then he will reveal to you what that is. But if your mind is renewed by the word of God, if your spirit is under control by the word of God, and this is the only way we can renew our minds. You know, we can come in here all the time and worship and raise our hands and praise the Lord and jump up and down and all the worship. And I love all that. But that's not going to transform me. What's going to transform me, the Bible says, is the word of God. All the other stuff is good, but it's the word of God that's going to transform my mind. Faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. It's in the Bible. Praise God. Okay, with a renewed mind, then when these things that are part of human nature rise up in us, like our anger, we have the word then to suppress it. We don't have to fly into that dimension. We don't have to go back there where God found us, because we now have ammunition. We have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, that we're able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Amen. So that's how we fight this fight when pride and lust and all these things. Listen, you're never going to escape from the world, but you can escape from the effect that the world has on your flesh, the effect that the world has on your thinking. The effect of those things can be overcome by an overdose of the word of God, a solution to every situation that's going on in your life. Listen, there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that cannot be overcome. There's absolutely no single thing that I can see in the scripture that can keep you from eternity except your own will. If your own will is not put in subjection to God's will, you do not have a chance, because your own will eventually take it over, or you'll be a partial Christian. You'll be a halfback or a half Christian. You have enough knowledge to know that this is truth, but not enough of God's will working actively in your life to do anything about it. There's no burden. If you have a burden for the lost, it came from assuming God's will in your life. If you have a spiritual discovery, it's because God wanted you to see something in his word. Anybody here ever read the word and all of a sudden, Roy, you just go, wow, that is so cool. Roy reads, I mean, more than anybody I know. He's always reading, and he's always coming up with these nuggets, and John Seidel is the same. Of course, Pastor Grant is a warehouse of spiritual knowledge. But, you know, this is what happens when you meditate and when you study and you love the Word of God. You know, when we first came into this, did you have a hard time putting down your Bible? Any amens? You remember those days when you just couldn't hardly stand it until you got home to pick up your Bible? Or you get together with some brothers and sisters and in fellowship, and it was all Bible. Wow. You know, this is cool. This is fantastic. And you get on a little more, and you get a little more mature, and get a couple years under your belt, you know. And the fire is not quite there. You want the fire to be there, and the pastor preaches the fire, but somehow it just kind of dwindles. Your will, your human will, kind of takes over. You know what I'm saying? So what can you do? You have to not be conformed to this world. This world is a ugly, dirty, filthy world that is designed to seek and kill every single human being on this planet with a multitude of things that come from the very pit of hell. And yet Jesus Christ is offering eternity. He's offering salvation of your soul by seeking his perfect will in your life. There's something going on here, Roy, in Calvary Gospel Church. There's a deep hunger coming from the body of Christ. People are hungry. A lot of people, not just the young people, but older people, younger people, a lot of people are feeling a stirring. I've talked to a lot of you personally. There's something going on in the Holy Ghost here. And I think what's happening is people are beginning to see that the things that they are pursuing are not worthy of their time, that they're no longer willing to sit for hours watching stupid Hollywood videos. I don't care if they're G-rated or whatever. But what? How does that enhance the kingdom of God? How does that draw me closer to the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, I watch movies. I'm not against all that, but I'm just saying, let's watch our time. Let's watch what we do. Let's watch who we hang with. Let's make sure that we're sticking around spiritual people. Let's make sure that we're engaging our spirits with people of like precious thinking. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You know, we could be going through the greatest trial in our life right now. Some of you might be doing that. You know, things could be looking bleaker than they've ever looked before. Your finances could be a complete mess. But you know, we can still give thanks to him. How do you know that, Brother Thomas? 1 Thessalonians 5:18 tells me this is God's will. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We can quote that scripture, but unless we've committed ourselves to his perfect will and performing that will, when things are looking bad, we lose the only door that's open to us sometimes is worship and praise. And if we're not careful, we're not going to have enough spiritual strength to open that door. We're going to be like the man that they had to lower through the roof. Praise God. I don't want to wait till I'm in that spiritual condition before somebody lowers me down to the feet of Jesus. I want to know the perfect will of God. The Bible says God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And if you say, well, I've been seeking God for 10 years for my healing, keep on knocking, keep on asking, keep on seeking. Joseph was 13 years in a dungeon, and he became second in command in Egypt. You don't know what God's going to do tomorrow, my friend. Tomorrow could be the last day of your affliction. Tomorrow could be the day that someone hands you a check to get you out of the financial mess that you're in. Tomorrow could be the day when you receive something from God that totally blows your mind away. I love this life. I love this life. You know why? Because it opens up so many potential answers to so many questions of life. All my life I remember thinking, if I could only know if there was a God. I remember writing a theme in seventh grade. If I only knew there was a God. They said, if you could have anything you wanted in life. I thought about it and I said, you know, I don't know, I was probably 13 years old. I said, you know, if I could just know there was a God, if there was some proof that there was a God, that would be my most valuable. This is what I want more than anything else in the world. I didn't understand it. I didn't even know why I wrote that thing. I got an A+ on the thing, and the guy was moved. And the reason I gave is if I knew there was a God in this life, I'd know how to live my life. I'd know how to prepare for an eternity, which I wasn't even sure there was one at the time. But you know, we've given the book, the front, the back, the middle, the end. We know everything we need to know about God's perfect will is in the book. It's already written. And God will reveal it to you if you begin to pursue him, not for things, for his will. For God to reveal his will. Some of you say, oh, I could never do that. I could never say this. I could never go there. I could never do that. Well, who says you can't? Who told you that? I can tell you who told you that. The enemy who's sitting on your shoulder and whispering. When I first saw Ted Kryaski, he looked like one of those Beatle guys, only he had an afro that was a permanent. Man, his head was like this big. I'd never seen a head that. Well, maybe I did, but it was huge. Teaching him a Bible study. He says, I didn't want you. He says, I tell you right now, he says, I'm not going to cut that hair. I said, I didn't ask you to cut that hair, did I? He said, no, but don't ask me because I'm not. I like my hair. About a week later, hair's gone. What was Ted doing? He had this big curly mop of hair. Permanent. Come on, Ted. A permanent? Big husky Marine like you. But what was he doing? It was the will of God. He looked in the Bible, and the Bible says, you know, it's an abomination to God for you to have long hair. He says, oh, woo. So he says, I'm going to cut it. We go through these things as we progress through this journey. Some of these decisions are, you know, God doesn't necessarily care where you live or the color of your next car, or the dress, and all this stuff. He lets you make so many decisions in your life. You don't have to worry about all that. As long as it's in compliance with His word and His will, you don't have to be asking God for that. But if you begin to seek Him like you never have before, I mean, never have before, you know, God never gives you the whole picture. It's like watching a master painter, and each stroke brings something new into your life, and it makes the picture a little clearer. But it's one stroke at a time. It doesn't happen all at once. It's a journey. It requires patience. And above all, you must fall in love, totally in love with Jesus Christ. Heart, soul, mind, and strength. This is the first commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And you say, whoa, if you're not seeking to love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you'll have strongholds in your heart that will keep you from knowing the perfect will of God. Because you won't give up this, or you won't give up that, you won't correct this, or you'll do everything but this. God never asks you for anything that you're willing to give up. What did He say to the rich young ruler? Oh, He said, he was so proud of himself. He said, well, I've done this, and I've done that, and I've done this. And Jesus knew immediately what his problem was. It was money. He says, okay, He says, go sell everything that you have and give it to the poor. And then come and follow me. He went away sad. He was not willing to do what the perfect will of God was for him. You know, the funny thing about it, you look in the book of Psalms, the Bible says, he that gives to the poor is like lending to the Lord, and God himself will repay him. That man could have become a multi-billionaire shekeler, whatever they call him back there, because he was unwilling to follow the perfect will of God. He walked away. We have no record that he actually was saved. So we need to seek the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Praise God. You know, and your God's perfect will for you is going to change as you mature in the Lord, as you grow older. You will go from situation to situation that will be a continuance of God's will. If you look at our pastor, started in Cushing, Texas, and he did God's will. God called him in the ministry. God told him to build a church there. He built a church there. He started a work there. He built a home. That was God's will. And then God called him to Shano, and that was God's will. And then it was to La Crosse, and then, thank God, to Madison, Wisconsin. Praise God. I'll tell you what, folks, this is the only way to live. There are eternal rewards for those who are willing to seek the Lord with their whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. John 1, 2, and 17, the Bible says, and the world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Abideth forever. How important is it for you to do the will of God? Not just the known will of God. I'm talking about the perfect will of God. It says right here, you're going to abide forever. You may say, well, you know, I've tried this so many times, I don't seem to be able to get it. Why don't you pray creatively like in Psalms 143:10? Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God, thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. You may not be living right now. You may not be able to follow God's will right now. You may be encumbered with many things. You might be stuck in the rut, if you will. You might be addicted to substances, or you might have things going on in your life you can't seem to control. Why don't you submit yourself to the perfect will of God and begin to apply the Word of God to your circumstance? And you wait and see how God's going to untangle everything that's going on that contrary to His Word. God does not get any pleasure of you being financially destitute. It's not God's will for you to be sick. It's not God's will for you to have to take pills to keep your mood in the right direction. It's not God's will that these things are happening in your life. They're adverse to what God's will for you is. So, my friend, why not try the perfect will of God? Psalms 40:8, there'll come a time, I truly believe this, that if you'll delight to do thy will, O God, yea, the law is within my heart. There will be a day when you'll look back on those things that had you encumbered, those things that were keeping you from doing what you really, you didn't even perhaps know what God had wanted you to do. What would it be like to not be encumbered with the problems that you have right now? That if it's not God's will for you to be broke all the time, if it's not God's will for you to be sick all the time, or God's will for you to be depressed or angry, whatever your problem might be, why don't we get the solutions out? Why don't we take the solutions and begin to apply them to our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength? Godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness without contentment is a nightmare. If you're serving God and you're not happy, I feel so bad for you. If you're not having the best time of your life, you are not experiencing everything God has for you. If you are still feeling as if you're condemned, it's a lie of the devil. It is a lie of the devil. Well, say, well, you don't know what I did. Listen, the blood is upon you. So no matter what you have been involved in, if you ask the Lord to forgive you, it's gone. It's done. It's no longer there. Praise God. So if you're a visitor of ours tonight, maybe you've never, ever heard anything like this, I want you to know that God even has a perfect will for you tonight. If you'd stand with me. The Bible tells us that God's will for everybody. God is not willing that any one person, not one soul, should die lost. He said that He wants everyone to come to repentance. You know what repentance is? Repentance is acknowledging the fact that you are a human being with a measured lifespan, and that one day, whether you're 22 or you're 82, someday you're going to pass from life to death. The Bible says, and after that, then the judgment. Now, God's offering an opportunity. God's will tonight is for anybody that's here tonight has never been baptized in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. So I'm not trying to get you to join the church. I'm trying to get you to get out of the kingdom of darkness that has you bound. If the God of this world has blinded your minds, listen, this could be the very first day of the rest of your life. Why not take advantage? Listen, this is the greatest thing on this. This is the greatest thing in the world. It's a great way to live, and it's a beautiful way to die. We're all going to have to die. I've been to some Pentecostal funerals, and I'm telling you, it was a Holy Ghost hoedown. People were dancing and shouting and spinning and doing whirly birds. Were they crazy or what? No, they knew that this man or this woman had fulfilled God's will. They were producing Christians who led a faithful, separated, sinless life to the best of their knowledge, and they repented. It starts with repentance. Praise God. So if we have a musician, if not, I'll sing, and that'll clear the house out. So if you're here tonight, we would encourage you not to listen to my voice, Have your own way, Lord. Have your own way. You are the potter. I am the clay. Could we sing that song, Lord? Da, 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 da. Could you? See, I knew it was going to. Every time I sing, something happens in the sound system. You know that song? Have your own way, Lord. You know that set? Never mind. God's not going to have his way tonight. Praise God. This is one of my favorite songs, actually, from the old church.
Have thine own way, Lord.
Have thine own way. Thou